If you haven't noticed, I'm your pastor, Barry White. Open up the book of Song of Solomon. Yeah. No, I have. Some of you got that. Awesome. I'm very sick, so I'm not going to be hugging y'all. You know how I love to hug everybody? I'm not going to hug you today. I'm going to keep my distance. I'm not going to walk out there. In fact, I'm going to stay back over here. Keep y'all safe. We're going to get through this, though, with God's strength. But hey, HBC, happy 2-year anniversary. You got to admit, as you look around and you see what God has done in just 2 years, amazing. There's about 200 people here. We have two buildings. It's a year of twos. I can't wait for a third year anniversary. We'll have three buildings. Anyways, what's that?
Crazy twos,
yes. And as you know me, as your pastor, I'm crazy. But hey, Chris has put together a video that just kind of spanned back the 2 years, our journey as a church. And check this out. The guy's got talent. Watch this. Pretty cool, huh? Chris also put together our website. You should check that out. It's cool as well. But what's even cooler is that all of this was accomplished not by the flesh, but by God's Spirit and the teaching of God's Word and worship from in spirit and truth and much, much prayer. On a Sunday morning, I think I've shared this with you, Sunday morning, we have about 20 to 25 people praying before service every Sunday. Friday nights, we have about 12 people, 8 to 12 people who come out and pray. It's awesome when we see that kind of prayer taking place in a little church like this. And I was like, wow, I pray to God that we never lose that spirit of prayer, because as long as we're covering this church in prayer, we are going to see great things. We have barely touched the tip of the iceberg. So very exciting. God, you are great. You're incredible. We praise you because this was all his doing. Yeah. Now, I was going to do a special message this morning, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to keep on target in the Gospel of John to where we get to the resurrection right on Easter Sunday and we can just keep going. So I'm not going to do a special message, but God's Word always speaks to us every day. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and we'll start at verse 22. We left off on verse 21. Title of my message, of course, you know, every Sunday, it's a song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And it's a great, great song. And I've broken our verses this morning into four sections. The manifesting mandate, memory modified, message meaning, and man's misunderstanding. So we begin in verse 22, looking at the manifesting mandate. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot. So Judas was a common name. That's like, you know, Bob or John or Jim. It's just an everyday name. Right away we see Judas and we think, bad guy. This was just another disciple. Said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? That's a good question. It's a very good, and right off the bat, Calvinists jump on this. See, God will only manifest himself to certain people. Well, that's fine if you want to see that, but if you look at this verse in proper context, you'll see that Jesus answers in a non-Calvinistic way. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now you're thinking, what? How is that an answer to the question, Jesus, why will the Father only manifest himself to us and not the whole world? Well, the answer to that question, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, he's reiterating something that's very, very important. In fact, Jesus is going to say this 3 times in 8 verses. When God says something once, it's important. When he says it twice, you better take heed. When he says it 3 times, it's like, what does he got to hit you upside the head with a 2x4? Prayerfully not. That would hurt a little bit. But he goes on. In fact, even in the next chapter, starting in verse 9, if you want to flip over, it's the very next chapter, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, So I have loved you. Now remain in my love if you keep my commands. You will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So here Jesus is saying, look, guys, you're going to keep my commandments just as I keep my Father's commandments. And we are Christians, so that's to be Christ-like. So we have to follow the Bible. I cannot tell you how many times I've counseled someone in my office, and they will say, Pastor Randy, God knows me. I worship God my way. And Jesus is saying, no, if you love me, you're going to worship me my way, the way I've told you to worship. So here's what Jesus' answer was to him. Let's look at it in context. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, basically what he's saying here is God will manifest himself to anyone who will love him back. Do you see that? He's saying, look, if you keep my commandments, you love me. So the answer is, anyone who, if you feel bad, oh, my neighbor, you didn't manifest yourself to my neighbor. Well, does your neighbor love God back? If your neighbor doesn't love God back, that's why God doesn't manifest himself to them. You know, before I was saved, I read a lot of the Bible. I didn't get it. I was like, whatever, man. I read the stuff, and mainly I read it, parts of it, to use it as ammunition against religious people, because I was atheist. I liked to fight. You're like, we could tell that. Anyways, but once I got saved, as I spent more and more time in God's Word, his Word became alive to me. Now, you probably are familiar with this, right? Maybe someone, you go to some church and you're listening to the message and you're like, I don't know what it is. Something's just not right. I can't put my finger on it. You know what that is? That's the fact that God has manifested himself to you, and you may not be able to pinpoint, but you know that's not God. Or someone comes to your door and you're like, well, you know, I don't know how to fight. I don't know how to defend. But I know this, what you're telling me is not biblical. It's not right. That's simply because God has manifested himself to you. Hey, don't worry. Be happy. He's manifested himself to you. You know him. You can discern. That's God's Spirit speaking through you. Isn't that awesome? So God, Jesus here is saying, listen, guys, I wouldn't manifest myself to anyone if they would just simply love me and follow my commandments. That's so good. I love this in Jeremiah 29. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So those people that Judas here, not Iscariot, was worried about, they could have the same manifestation of God's Spirit if they would simply love him. That's simple. Jesus will not manifest himself to someone who doesn't love him. Why? Well, because Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to force his love on someone who doesn't want to love him back. Forced love is rape. And God is a gentleman. He would never do something like that. So he says, hey, you want to love me? I'll love you back. You don't want to love me? Okay, I grant your wishes. This is that simple. But the bad point is that so many people will say that I know God, yet you look at their lives and you see no manifestation of God's Spirit because they don't, what? Walk in obedience. Let me show you a great illustration of a man who had so much potential and blew it. If you would, please, and we're going to look at quite a few scriptures here. 1 Samuel chapter 15, that's in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Listen to what, this is Saul talking with Samuel. And Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people. So, listen now to the message from the Lord. So basically, Samuel says, hey, listen, I'm the one that God said to anoint you. So listen, I obviously have authority from God. So if I have authority from God, maybe you should listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came from Israel. So basically, the Amalekites set up an ambush for the Israelites. And he says, now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, donkeys. Jump to verse 9. But Saul and the army spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves, the lamb, and everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. So basically they said, look, they got some beautiful livestock. And livestock back then was money. That's cash. You know, that's cash in the pocket, man. The more livestock you had, the richer you were, okay? So they said, look at all this beautiful livestock. Sorry, God, but my bank account's looking thin, and I want these. We'll destroy the ones that look weak and feeble. And he spared Agag. Why? Why did he spare the king? Well, because that was like his trophy. You know, in his pride, he was like, well, you know what? How awesome to keep him alive so he can see the devastation of his people and I can rub it in his face, right? Isn't that some of us sometimes when someone does us wrong? Instead of forgiving them the way the Lord says, instead we want to harbor the bitter feelings and watch their destruction and then rub it in their face. Yeah, I told you. And God's like, that's not what I asked you to do, is it? I said, forgive them. But then look at verse 13. When Saul reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instruction. Lie. And listen, look at how pious he's trying to sound. Samuel comes up and he's like, hey, bless you, brother. Trying to sound like he's got it all together, like he follows God. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep that in my ear? What is the lowing of the cattle that I hear? In other words, you followed out, but what's all these animals that I hear? Where'd these come from? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. He said, okay, now to sound pious, well, first of all, it wasn't me, bro. It was the soldiers. Well, you're king. When you're king, your soldiers won't do anything that you don't let them do. So don't try and pawn it off. But that's what we do. We try and pawn it off on someone else. I couldn't help myself. They did this. They did that. But then on top of that, notice that Saul doesn't even have his own relationship with God. He says, we kept them to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Not our God, not my God, but your God. What is it? That speaks volumes right there. But we totally destroyed the rest. I like this. Samuel, enough, Samuel said to Saul. That's really nice. Actually, the word in the Hebrew there for enough is actually shut up. So basically, Samuel didn't mince around. He didn't mess around. He even took some heads of people. Okay, Samuel didn't mess around. Don't think because someone's a man of God that they always have to be sweet and gentle. We should. But once in a while, there's a thing called righteous indignation. So in this case, Samuel says to Saul, shut up. And he says, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Listen, I was praying and God already told me. Saul's interested. He's intrigued. Ooh, God told you something last night? He says, tell me. Verse 17. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? In other words, dude, you had so much potential. Talk about potential wasted. The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until they have been wiped out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of God? Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? When God's word tells us to do A and we do B, that's evil in the sight of God's eyes. When God's word says, don't do B, do A, and we do that, that's sin in God's eyes. So often, we think sin is doing bad things. When in all actuality, sin is doing bad things, but sin is also not doing right things. We're going to look at that a little deeper, but look at what he continues to say. Saul, you silly man, silly, silly man. Listen to what Saul says. But I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. Is that not a contradiction? Completely destroyed, but we brought back. It's a contradiction. The soldiers took the sheep and the cattle for the plunder. I didn't do that. The best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, in Gilgal. So in other words, he says it again. He says the exact same thing over again. He ain't getting it, even though Samuel already told him, shut up. The words you're saying are disgusting in the eyes of God. You did not keep his word. Not good. This is great. Listen to this. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. In other words, when you disobey God's word, it might as well be practicing witchcraft, is what he's saying. And when you're so arrogant to say, I'm going to do God, worship God my way, and God knows me, and I can do this, and it's okay, and God will just accept me, that's idolatry. That's putting yourself before God. Not good. He goes on, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. When you and I reject the word of God, we may not lose our salvation, okay? But he will sometimes take our blessing away, whether it be position, whether it be whatever it is that you hold as a premium. Sometimes he'll say, look, you're not obeying me. Why should I bless? Just like a child, right? If you have children, or if you've been, how many have been a child here before? You don't have to know. Right. You know, when you were doing wrong, did your parents want to take you to Disneyland and buy you gifts when you were, oh, you're so rotten, Randy. Let's go to Disneyland, you spoiled brat. No. No. Of course not. Well, God's saying the same thing. He's saying, listen, I want to bless you. But as soon as you ignore me, that you think you know better than I, I'm not going to stop loving you, but I will pull away my blessing. And so here Saul is rejected as king. That was a blessing from the Lord. That's what Samuel was saying. God anointed you, and you didn't heed his word. Verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, hey, first smart thing he said, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. Listen to this. I was afraid of men, and so gave in to them. Can I tell you, that's the number one reason why a believer will sin. Because, hey, I went to hang out with my buds, and we were hanging out. You know, they're not saved, and I try to witness to them. And we went out, and all of a sudden, the party started. I didn't want to be rejected. I want to feel like, you know, hey, I want to be a part of the group. Maybe they'll get saved. So I partook in what they partook. And God's saying, not a good excuse. You should fear me, love me more than you love your buds that you hang with. And Saul here says, I have sinned. I was afraid of men, and I gave in to them. And you know another problem with that? Saul was, he was king. Show me a king that's afraid of men. Show me a king that would say his soldiers, ooh. No, a king says, hey, you don't do what I say, off with your head, especially at this time. So that doesn't even wash. It's a poor excuse. Poor, poor excuse. He continues, verse 25. Now I beg you, forgive my sins and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Holy moly. Holy moly. Do you want to hear that in your life? Would you like to hear one day when you go to pray and God says, I'm not going to hear you. I've given you my word and you don't obey my word. You treat my word like it's just a bookshelf filler. You don't obey my word. You don't love me. So why should I bless you? Yeah, you're saved. You've created a chasm between us. I'm not going to go with you today, Randy. You're on your own. I pray to God I never hear that. I pray to God you and I never hear that. Listen, God's word is important. God's word is true. God's word is right. Live it. Obey it. Love him. If you really love the Lord, that's what you're going to do. You're going to follow. He continues. We're back in John 14. That's such a cool story. I love the Old Testament. Some of those stories are awesome. Anyways, and my Father will love them. Oh, this is mind-blowing here. And come to him and make our home with him. He says, we will. We will. Who's the we? Well, the we is the Trinity. You know, there's people who say that nowhere in the scripture is Trinity found, the word Trinity. No, the word Trinity is not found. But the principle of the Trinity is found. Listen, in the scripture it says, on that day you will realize that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's Jesus talking. So that was earlier in verse 20. Here he says that my Father and I will make our home in you. Earlier he said, Jesus said, I'll be in you. If you look at Romans chapter 8, I love this verse, like especially like showing Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons who don't believe in the Trinity. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 11. Listen to this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit himself. So there he's saying, if the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, Wait. The Spirit of God has got to be in me? And I need the Spirit of Christ in me? Okay. He is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead of sin. But the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Jesus from the dead? The Father. So wait. Okay, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Okay, what we have in those three little verses, we have God the Father Spirit in you, you got God the Holy Spirit in you, and we got God the Son in you. Because if they're not all one, then it's getting pretty crowded in there, okay? You know, if you wonder why I'm this big, I'm trying to make room for all three of them, all right? But do you see that? And so here he says in our verse, he says, we will. My Father will love him and come and make our home. We will come and make our home in him, with him. We. There's a Trinity. It's taught through, replete through the scripture. But I love this. How mind-blowing is that? That God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son all take residence inside of us. Okay, let's rewind. Remember at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus said, hey, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And we said that the word mansions is monet, not money, but monet. Many dwelling places in one house. Doesn't God get the short end of the deal? We get this incredible mansion, 70 acres apiece. We looked at that. We broke it down from the description in Revelation that you, if we took everyone who was ever Christian, we each get 70 acres of dwelling place in the Father's house. But we get this incredible place, and what does God get as a home? He gets my filthy heart. But he loves me. And he loves you. And there's nowhere else that he would rather be than in your heart. And yet so often, you and I, we close our heart and we say, no, God, I ain't got time for you today. I ain't got time to open up for the most majestic being alive. He wasn't created, ever alive, to dwell within my heart and give me a joy and a peace unspeakable. Are we not foolish? Are we not as foolish as Saul? Let's continue, verse 24. He who does not love me, it's plain and simple. You don't love him? You want to know if you don't love him? Does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. You want to know, plain and simple, today, each one of us, we can ask in our heart, do I love Jesus? Do I love him? Well, easy answer. Do I obey the word of God? Or is it a hobby? Or is it a afterthought? Or is it something I do on Sundays and maybe a Wednesday? Or do I obey the word of God? Look at what Matthew, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Y'all are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most popular, most well-known speeches ever given by Jesus Christ. So eloquent, so powerful. But here's how he wraps up the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rains descend, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Here's a great quote, Benjamin Franklin. This is a quote from Benjamin Franklin. I love this. I've used this a couple of times, but it's so apropos here. How many observe Christ's birthday, how few his precepts. That's awesome, man. He's cooking with electricity there. John 17:6. I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they kept your word. If you want to know if you belong to Jesus, do you simply keep his word? Is it important to you to keep his word? There's a great analogy. Think about this. You know, because some people say, well, you know, who is God's word for? Or how can I get aligned with God? Do you realize right now, in this room, there are radio frequencies from all the radio stations in the area. They're just flowing around in here. Flowing around. They're just passing around in here. If we had a little radio, we could tune it in. Right? Well, what station are you tuning into? Right? You could say, okay, I'm going to tune into the worship station. And it's like, Jesus, friend of... Orale, ora today, sábado, sábado, sábado. And then it jumps to... Today's farmer's market, says it. And then it's back to Jesus. Why? Because you're not tuned in properly. You've got all this static and all this noise. What Jesus is saying is, hey, my word is to tune you in properly so that you can worship me and you can be in tune with what I want and what I'd like to see in your life. But so often, we don't mind static. We don't mind the static as long as we don't have to follow the word of God, as long as we don't have to be the outcast, as long as we can indulge in our sin. So get your radio tuned. And you know what? When you tune into God's radio, it says, hey, don't worry, be happy. Because God has a plan. Now we come to the memory modified in verse 25 through 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, notice here it says the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and I believed I explained this last week, that this Helper is the word Parakletos, which is like a defender, and also like a legal defender, like a lawyer. But it's more than that. It also means comforter. someone who comforts you. But also I told you that the Holy Spirit would be one just like Jesus. And like when people say, oh, in service today, the Holy Spirit was so thick, it was dripping from the roof. And I told you, listen, no one's ever going to say Jesus was dripping from the roof, right? Well, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit shouldn't be dripping if Jesus isn't dripping. Why? The Holy Spirit and Jesus are the same. Go back and look at earlier verses in this same chapter. And he says, one like me, a comforter, a paracletus. So here he says, look, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Some people say, and this is important, I hear this a lot, well, if the Holy Spirit's going to teach me, then I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to go to church. The Holy Spirit's going to teach me, right? But notice what it says here. Very important to have this in proper context. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I had said to you. How the Holy Spirit teaches us is through God's Word. And as we take in God's Word, then He can bring to our remembrance the things that we've taken in. If you don't have it in you, how can you remember it, right? So it's important. It's kind of like that. I have to have input to gain any output. Garbage in, garbage out. Holy Spirit in, Holy Spirit out. You see how that works? But look at this. Last week we read this, and it's such a good Psalm 119 goes so well with chapter 14. But listen to this. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. Your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart. Hidden what? Your word. That I may not sin against you. Praise be you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the law that came from your mouth. See? Recount. In order to recount, I have to know it to begin with. To have some semblance of word in me. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. So yeah, the Holy Spirit will teach you. But brothers and sisters, you need to be reading the word so he can bring it to your remembrance. You need to be reading your word so that you can recount it. You need to be reading your word. Why? Because Jesus said, read your word. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Because if you don't read your word, then you don't love Jesus. Is that hard to follow? No. Is that Pastor Randy making something up? No. Is that scripture, God's word, encouraging you guys to be reading and praying? Now here's the thing. I love this. As you take a little time each day to read your word, I guarantee you cannot begin to believe the blessings that will flow from spending some time with God in his word. You won't. I challenge you. Try it. Just begin. Try. Say, you know what? For this next week, I'm going to read my word every day. I haven't been doing it, but I'm going to cut out time. 5 minutes. Read just 5 minutes. Trust me. 5 minutes, you could probably read 3 or 4 chapters in 5 minutes. I'm a slow reader. Give them just 5 minutes. Hey, we spend, 2 hours watching a movie with no spiritual gain, nothing to benefit. Half the time, it's stuff that's dragging our spirit down. Take 5 minutes for God tomorrow, today, next, the rest of this week, and watch how God will bless you. So important. All right, verse 27. The message meaning. This is important. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The world's idea of peace, is based on circumstance, right? What do you think of when you think of peace, right? You think of like a Hawaiian beach on a hammock with iced tea. A little umbrella, sipping, no cell phone, nice breeze coming through. That's not what God is talking about. He wants to give you a peace that blows the world away, that the world will look at and say, how can you be peaceful? Let me prove it to you. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace which surpasses understanding. Listen, in order for peace to surpass understanding, people have to be looking at you and saying, I can't understand how you can be so peaceful going through what you're going through. That's the peace that God wants to leave you, not sitting temporarily in a hammock in Hawaii or wherever, sipping lemonade. That's temporary. God wants you to give you a peace that when the storm is rattling, and because your house is built on a firm foundation and the wind blows and the rains come and the storm, you're at peace. You're like, doesn't matter. God's going to get me through this because I stand on his word. And as I stand on his word, I prove that I love him. And as I prove that I love him, he blesses me because he blesses his children. Yeah, isn't that awesome? Isn't God good? He's more than, you know, even the word, isn't God good? That's so trite. It's so true. I mean, it's just so lacking any. God is more than good. God is incredible. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, that's the point. He started off this chapter saying, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Right after Peter said, hey, God, I would never deny you. And Jesus said, oh, you're going to deny me three times. The rooster's going to crow. And you're going to deny me because you're going to be afraid. You're going to deny me because you're going to see me brutalized. Can you imagine your God, your Savior, the one you followed who's done incredible works before your very eyes, and to stand there in the crowd, this angry mob, and watch him beaten and brutalized beyond recognition, and to think I could be next because I follow him? That could be a scary thing. But he says here, no. I'm going to leave you some peace. I'm going to leave you peace that surpasses understanding. Let's move on here as we begin to wind up. We come to man's misunderstanding in verse 28 through 30. You have heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you love me, you'd be happy for me. I'm going to be with my Father. If you think I'm something, you should see my Father. He's something. But it reminds me, when I saw this, he says, listen, if you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to my Father. And what I thought of, the first thing that popped into my mind, was when we lose a loved one. When we lose a loved one, oftentimes, we also lose our minds. We go nuts. God, how could you? God, they were so young. God, they had so much left to do. God this, God that, and God is up there saying, Jesus saying, if you really loved them, you would be rejoicing. Because they're standing in the presence of God. But what happens is, Our mourning is simply selfishness. We're not mourning. We're mourning because of what we're missing. They're not missing anything. They're in heaven before Almighty God going, whoa! They're not saying, boy, I wish I was back there with all the pain and suffering and heartache and starving and sickness and disease and robbery and beatings. No, they're not saying, boy, I wish I could go back. Now, if you really love them, you'd be happy that they're gone. Listen, brothers and sisters, if I pass away while this church is still going, will you please throw the biggest party ever? Because this is one cat that will be rejoicing before the Lord and saying, thank you for letting me be a part of HBC. And Lord, take care of them. Send a better pastor to pastor over them. But I don't want to go back. I love them, and I'll miss you guys. But man, God, I'm sorry, but compared to God, You guys pale in comparison a little bit. So here Jesus says, but I love you guys. You know I do. I mean, I'm sick as a dog and I'm here because I love you guys. And this is important. And I do love you and you're precious to me. Every one of you is so precious. I pinch myself because I can't believe that I get to serve beside you guys. It's amazing. There's some wonderful, wonderful people here. But Jesus is saying, hey, if you love me, you're going to see me brutalized, but you're going to be happy that I'm going to be with the Father because he is so much greater than I. Oh, in all my glory, to see the Father, there's nothing better. Nothing better. So don't mourn. Rejoice. That's a good principle for us to hang on our belt. Verse 29. I love this. Now, I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Basically, Jesus is saying, everything I've told you is going to come to pass. Example, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. Another example, hey, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. It's going to come to pass. Hey, I go to my Father. Hey, the Comforter is coming. In Acts chapter 2, they were, oh, yeah, he's here, Comforter. Holy Spirit came upon us. You're going to remember, prophecy can be wonderful. I'll give you an example. Jeremiah 28:9. The prophet which prophesies peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Now, prophecy is a great thing, okay? The problem is there are some churches that abuse prophecy. Every other Sunday, they've got some prophet coming prophesying over the church. I knew this gal that was prophesied and her husband was prophesied over and they were told that they were going to be of this incredible ministry and all this stuff. And 20 years later, and she's never even done a ministry, she's no longer with that husband. And it's like, what kind of prophet is that? Not one from the Lord. I don't want prophecy. Because you know what? As a teacher, I can mess up. It happens. Not very often. But it happens. If I mess up, I can come back next week and I can say, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I taught something that wasn't quite biblical and I found out the truth and here it is. And I will do that if I teach something wrong. If you notice, I've never done that before. No. But if I were to say, thus saith the Lord, we're going to do this and that, and it doesn't come to pass, then that means I spoke out of place. And you honestly shouldn't even listen to me anymore. So I don't want prophecy. I don't want that one. But here's, I need to clarify this word prophecy for you. The word prophecy in the Greek can mean 2 things. To foretell, in other words, tell the future. But it also means to foretell. Today, I foretold the word of God. A lot of times when they're reading the scripture and they see prophecy in the New Testament, they're thinking something prophetical, something futuristic. But a lot of times, just to prophesy is just to foretell. I mean, foretell the word of God, like I'm doing today. Here's proof. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 through 4. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. And you say, okay, that's cool. Well, let me show you how that is most likely just speaking about foretelling, right? Because he says it's edifying, it's building up the church, it's comforting, exhorting. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is talking about the word. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Doesn't that sound like edification and encouragement and correction? So here's the thing. When they prophesy in the New Testament, it wasn't always that they were telling the future. Yes, it did happen. But what's sad is some churches abuse this prophecy just like they abuse tongues. So then what happens is other churches, because they see this abuse, they so not want any part of that they go so far to the other side that they quench the spirit. And they don't allow tongues to take place. And they don't allow prophecy to take place. Now, we will allow it. However, let me just explain this. I've been saved for 20 years. I've never heard anybody speak in tongues. I can't say I've never heard prophecy, because I have. But I've never heard someone speak in tongues. But look at this. We should not quench the Spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. But prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil. When someone gets up and they say, hey, you're going to be a leader of some incredible ministry, and thousands, millions are going to get saved, that's evil if it doesn't come to pass. That's evil. That's not of God. That's someone who's trying to line their pockets. But it's not good. It's not good when they do that. Prophecy has a place. We need to prove all things. We need to not despise prophesying. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to be firm in this. And here Jesus says, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. So basically, Jesus said, I told you lots of prophecy. I told you prophecy of the end times. I told you prophecy of what's going to happen in just a couple hours, Peter. When it all happens, you'll know that I am fully in control. And that's awesome. Verse 30. I will no longer walk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing on me. I love that. He's speaking of Satan. Satan is coming. But he says, but he has nothing on me. You know why? Jesus is saying, listen, he tried to tempt me. He didn't budge me. I did not budge. He tried to sway me. I did not budge. He tried to get my friends to turn against me. I did not budge. The enemy, the devil, compared to Jesus, is a punk. Okay, and that's what Jesus is saying. The devil is a punk. He's coming, but he's a punk. He has nothing on me. I'm going to crush him under my feet. So don't fear him. Don't worry. Be happy. Okay? You and I can't compete against him, but Jesus, who is in us, makes Satan a punk. He has nothing. And I love this. But that the world may know that I love the Father. How? As the Father gave me commandment, so I do. In other words, hey, I'm asking you to love me enough to keep my commandments, as I love my Father and kept his commandments. Then he says, arise, let's go from here. Let's go. So you think any of them say, no, I don't want to go. No, they all wanted to follow at that point. They're going to scatter. But one of the amazing things, as you realize these guys who wrote these gospels, you notice this, if I were going to write a book about God in the flesh, that I hung out with God, don't you think I would try and make myself look good? Right? I'd be like, yeah, God told me I was pretty awesome. I was his favorite. That man, he was amazed at how I got everything right all the time. You know? But you know what these guys, if you look through the gospels, you know what they do over and over again? We didn't get it. He told us he was going to the cross. He was going to be crucified. He told us he would be smitten. He told us he was going to depart. We didn't get it. We're dumb. That's humility. And that proves to me that this was not written by men, because men never, never, never would belittle themselves when writing a book about God, that they spent time with God. You look at any guru and they always elevate themselves. All of them elevate themselves. Oh, kiss my ring. Kiss my big toe. You know, kiss, it's whatever, you know. But not these guys. These guys are like, we don't get it. We never got it. We were so dumb. And yet John, the one who wrote this, says, can you believe it? I'm the one that Jesus loved. Though I never got a single word he said until after he passed. Let's love the Lord. Let's get his word. Let's apply it. Let's do it. Let's show him how much we love him, and then we can really sit back as we receive his blessings, and we don't have to worry. We can just be happy.